It certainly is. Father, we just praise you. We glorify you, Lord, for this wonderful time again with each other, with my brothers and sisters across the map. Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that tonight you're going to be leading us, Father. It's going to be a memorable conference call. It's going to be a memorable fellowship, I should call it. And we praise you, Father, that you're going to be leading us and guiding us. It's just going to be another awesome time with you, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Father, that the heavens are opened up for our prayers. Lord, listen and hear us. The enemy's not going to have anything to do with it. And we praise you for it, Father. We bind up and cast out all tormenting spirits out of this room and off our communications equipment in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be special. I just ask, Father, that your glory would come down tonight and just rain through us, Lord, like that refreshing rain. We thank you for it, Father, that purifies everybody in the name of Jesus and the anointing that breaks the yoke of the enemy off of everybody. Jesus' name. And while I'm at it, I'm going to pray for Nick. In the name of Jesus, I command those sinuses to be healed in the name of Jesus. I bind up any kind of allergic reactions to anything to go from him in the name of Jesus. He's a child of the living God. He doesn't have to put up with it. We don't put up with it. He is whole, healed, and set free by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. And we thank you for it, Father, that Nick is completely free of any allergies in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that he is. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, we just thank you for everybody that has showed up tonight. It's going to be an awesome time. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Go ahead, Nick.
I just realized in like 2 days is my birthday.
Well, we'll pray for you.
I'll be 27 this year.
27? Oh, my gracious.
Yep.
I can't even remember 27. Well, happy
hey,
birthday,
Nick,
brother.
When is your birthday? Is it the 30th?
Yeah.
That's my that's me and my son's birthday, too.
Oh, man.
Well, happy birthday, man.
Thank you.
That's Thursday night, isn't it? Y'all bring a cake. We'll all eat.
I'm going down to my grandma's for my birthday, so.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Yep. We're going out to eat for dinner.
Party time.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, that'd be good. Where are you going out to eat at?
We're probably going to go to Applebee's.
Oh, okay. That'd be good.
Yep.
That'd be good. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? What is this thing showing up? It says, set up professional audio and audio effects playing music. Okay. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Missy. Y'all watch out. She may have pictures with this one.
Well, I have a prayer request. Megan had the baby yesterday. We'll cut to the chase of the prayer, and then I'll fill you in on the other stuff if Michael will let me. she's having a lot of pain and struggling with nursing and everything, and I'm not so sure because I talked to Brooke earlier and she said she was texting with Matt a little bit and actually with Megan too, and I think he's having a hard time latching on. So, Father, I just, ask you for your mercy and grace upon Megan. Lord, help her to, do what it takes to feed him, whether she has to pump or whatever. And I ask you, Lord, that she and the baby get the hang of it and that he just nurse really well, Lord, help her to stick it out. And I ask you to give Brooke the words to encourage her to stick it out, and that she can just fully nurse him normally and not really have to pump or whatever, maybe at first. But Lord, I just ask you for your mercy and your grace in that. And I just command that the frustration to go, and anxiety and fear and failure mentality. No, Megan's going to do good in Jesus' name. And so is the baby. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that. And then he's going to get all the nourishment that he needs, Lord, and that it's just going to run smoothly. And I just ask you, Lord, to help Matt to be the help that he needs to be an encourager. And we just command that pain off of Megan in the name of Jesus, and for her to heal up quickly, that when she goes home, that she can get around fine and not have any issues. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I got me a grandson, and his name is Ryder Andrew Rager. And he was 5 pounds, 9 ounces, and he was 18 and a half inches, and he was born at 2:55 yesterday. So, and he's a cutie. And I'll show pictures now of Michael will let me, or we can wait till the end, but maybe not everybody's going to stay on, so I don't know.
Go ahead.
Okay.
You got 5 seconds.
He looks just like his mommy. Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
He's a cutie. Oh, I guess. I love his name, Ryder. This is the first one Matt sent me. Such a cutie. And I think he's going to have curly hair because I think Megan's dad, I saw pictures of when she was a baby. And her dad has curly hair too. Matt has curly hair. He has my hair. That's Megan and Ryder. And there's another one of me. So, as we said earlier, I'm a Grammy twice now. I got 2 Grammys. That's the joke. I have a mug that Blake gave me that's says best Grammy ever. So that was my choice to be called Grammy. And so Brooke found that mug, and it just tickled me pink. So anyway, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You're next, Lana. Lord, I just thank you for Lana, Lord, and I just thank you for blessing her for the rest of her pregnancy and quick labor and painless, and that she'd be full of energy up until then and no exhaustion and tiredness and just supernatural strength that you'll give her, Lord, and for you, and he will be a good helper, and that he will know exactly what all he needs to do. And I just praise you and thank you for this next little one that's up. In Jesus' name, amen. He's going to be perfect and healthy. She's going to be perfect, healthy. And that Lana's going to come through with flying colors too, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
5 minutes after having the baby, she's going to run laps of victory around the house.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, okay. I am. Praise the Lord.
Go ahead, Lana.
I just wanted to pray for Matt. Just a little testimony. When I had Theo, I had trouble with him latching as well, and he probably didn't latch for 2-3 weeks. And if it wasn't for my beloved's encouragement to try and try and try, I would have eventually just given up. And then one night he was just like, drop all the accessories that the doctors have given you and just do it. And I didn't want to because I had no faith, but I did it for his sake. And little Theo latched on, and that was the end of my misery with trying to nurse a baby naturally. And so, Father God, I lift up Matt and ask that you give him the persistence and the faith and the love to support his precious baby and wife as they work through this little trial of getting this precious baby to nurse. It's such a joy to be able to provide for our children and to be able to be mommies as best we can, as close we can physically and even spiritually, for these gifts that you give to us, Father God. I also bless her to have an abundant supply and that she'd choose to continue nursing, Father God, because we hate pumping very, very, very quickly. It is such a chore and I don't wish it on anybody. So I thank you, Father God, that you're going to work this out in her and she'll give you the glory, Father God, that you, because this baby, these babies mean everything to us mommies. And when things start to line up, when these babies start to eat, when they start to cooperate, when things go smoothly, we have to give you the glory, Father God, because we are fulfilling our need to provide for these babies. And it's such a reward to see them respond properly, to be fed, to be content, to be calm. It tells us that we're doing our job, but it's only by your grace, Father God. So I bless her in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father God, that it is done in the mighty name of your Son. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for doing that. By giving in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. That's a good prayer. I believe it.
Amen. I also wanted to just ask that you all agree with me. As my time draws closer, it seems like every time I look out to listen to a testimony on supernatural births and anything related to that, the enemy seems to find a trigger word to get me to doubt that particular aspect of labor, that I can't believe for better, or that I might become overwhelmed and my faith will fail me here or there. So Father God, in the name of Jesus, I've been casting all that down. I know it's not going to come of me and my own efforts, and definitely not the arm of my flesh. I failed once before. Father God, it is Christ in me who is going to do everything as you've arranged for it to be, for this perfect method and way that you've created to bring our precious baby that we've waited for these whole 9 months into this world, Father God, for your glory and our joy and our blessing of your name, Father God. So I bind up these doubts. I bind up these trigger words, these trigger thoughts that the enemy has doubled up on in order to get me down in my faith. I rebuke these thoughts. I don't accept them. And I renounce any bad testimonies that have attached themselves to me to cause me to doubt. And I can do all things in Christ who lives in me, because my flesh in no way would go through what we're about to go through. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for your great mercy and the opportunity to glorify your name. And thank you for the safe, precious, and quick arrival of baby Graceland in the very, very, very near future. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we got all these babies coming in here. Lord of God. Man, they're going to have us a trailer full when they come to visit. Come on, Missy.
I'm sorry, I got to torture you just one more time. Matt just sent me a picture, a new picture, and you got to see what he did with his hands all by himself.
Lord, help us from grandma's.
Grammy.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Picture. I'm trying to get it to pop up. Okay, there it goes. Okay.
Amen, Geneva.
Okay. There it goes. Look what he did with his hands, all by himself.
He's praying.
Amen. Isn't that cute?
He's praying for all the new brothers and sisters that we're expecting.
Look at those cheeks.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh. Little rabies.
Amen. Thank you, Missy. That's enough. No, that was good. I enjoyed that. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Isaac.
Hey, guys. Hey, everybody. Hey, I just want to share a testimony. Since we've been here trying to get everything arranged for Mom, we have gotten the place. The Lord has completely furnished the house completely with everything. Matter of fact, we have too much furniture now, and we got too many dressers. We've had to give some away. That's how much the Lord's really blessed us in this. And a lot of it, we didn't have to go looking. I was just getting calls like this realtor saying, hey, well, this here, take this, take that. And it's just been amazing just how much the Lord has furnished this place to where it's been too much in abundance, and we've even had to give it away. But I just want to say thank God that, man, he's just got it all under control. He really does. And I just, I'm just thankful to know him.
Amen. All right, who's next? Yeah, Benita.
Hey, everyone. I just wanted to give you an update on my daughter's dog. he came home. We searched all night long. We went to bed at midnight, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, we got a call from the neighbor that he was over there. So, but I just, you know, what came to me was just, we were searching and searching, and it wasn't until we were in our rest that the Lord brought him back home. So it just reminds me to just be in the rest and just wait on him. So praise the Lord. He's home.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your protection. Okay, Geneva.
Mine's kind of random, actually, but Morgan told me today that he went to Walmart to get some groceries and stuff, and he said he was walking in the parking lot, and he was looking down, and I guess this car just totally backed out and didn't see him, and he was walking, and he said that car almost hit him and then stopped, and he said that there was a guy that was walking forward, like, yelled, and anyways, like, he was like, oh my gosh, and like Morgan said, he was like, it like freaked him out, obviously. But I'm just thinking, like, praise you, Father, for your angels. And thank you, Jesus. I always pray all the time that the Lord keeps a hedge of protection around Morgan and us when we're driving, and when we're in our vehicles, and all the people that are around us. And the Lord's angels are real, and his hand and his mercy and his grace, and just, you know, that blood, that protection. It's just amazing. And Morgan told me that, and I just like gasped, and I just looked at him. I was like, praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Like, I know that was God keeping his angels around him. So anyways, I just wanted to say thank you, Jesus, for that.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for your protection and your angels all around about stopping cars. Amen. All right, Rhea.
I was typing this out, and then I thought I'd rather just speak quick. It's a bit difficult at work, but I've got to duck into a meeting in about 5 minutes or so. But I just wanted to ask you to keep Claire in her prayers still. She's still struggling quite a bit with that trial of faith she's going through with a bladder infection, or that lying symptoms of it. She's pretty strong, as you guys know, but she's in a lot of pain, and she's struggling quite a bit. She's up the coast, as we say here, to that town that's about 1.5 hours away today. She's graciously decided to host a baby shower for a lady that the kids do some gymnastics with. So she's up there struggling quite a bit, but also on the way, the car went into, I don't know, like a limp mode or something. It's got no power. She's really struggling. So, but the kids and her prayed, they laid hands on the car. They got there. Everything's fine. So they just got to come back so we can get the car sorted here. So if you could just keep on adding your faith to that this trial of hers will finish fairly soon, and we'll get that car sorted as well.
Amen. We command that car to straighten up and do right in Jesus' name. And it's got all the powers needed. We praise you, Father, that you're going to get Claire and the kids back home real easy, real quick, and with no problems in Jesus' name. And we just come against this infection, and we command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to leave Claire's body right now in Jesus' name. You have to go. In Jesus' name, her body is whole, it's healed, in Jesus' name. And all the little imps that's got the symptoms, go with it, in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that she is completely healed, delivered, and the pain is gone, in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for Claire's complete healing. Amen. Y'all believe that? Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. She is healed, delivered, and set free. And she's going to be singing the tune when she gets home. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise you, Father. Woo-hoo. All right, Geneva.
I wanted to say, too, Rion, over the weekend, I was helping Isaac and Mariana clean his trailer and stuff, and I all of a sudden was having an issue going to the bathroom. And I was like, I was having all kinds of ideas. I was like, man, I was like, why am I not able to like just go pee? And so, I was kind of, just to be blunt here, I want y'all to take number two. I'm talking about number one.
Go ahead.
That does come with pregnancy too. Anyways,
we're all family.
Exactly. No shame here. But anyways, I was praying, and I was like, man, I was like, I really don't want to go through this. And then I thought about what Claire had testified about, how, you know, she kind of dealt with stuff like that, and how the Lord had, Mariana brought that up, that, you know, how the Lord had healed her, and I know he's going to do it again. And so I thought about that, and it gave me faith, and I was like, well, Lord's like, I'm not, you know, I know I'm healed. And my midwife told me that she thought it was a UTI or whatever, but I just cast it down and I didn't receive it. And so I was like, next time I go to the bathroom, in Jesus' name, I'll be able to use the bathroom, no problems. And I went in there, used the bathroom, was completely fine, and have been fine since. And I was dealing with that for all day Saturday. It was really difficult. It's not fun at all, but I know that Claire is healed in Jesus' name. But you saying that, and then me thinking about Claire, you know, I was just like, I know she's healed. God's done it before, and he's going to do it again. And she's already healed in Jesus' name.
Yep, yes. I agree. That's good. Thank you, Janiel.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? I want to pray that the Lord brings a man-child home. We need him right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you for bringing a man-child home, the anointing with him, and we praise you, Father, that it's being done even as we speak. And we thank you, Father, that you're going to anoint the man-child, and he's going to be coming on the scene soon to bring judgment and relief in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father. Glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, my. Okay, Lana.
I just wanted to share a quick testimony. We went out last Saturday night. Yeah, this past Saturday night to see Theo's sister and her family at their campsite. They go camping not too far here very often, and they'll invite us over for bonfires and a good time. And she told me that same morning, their one-year-old Amelia had been walking around the campfire and had walked up to her older sister to see something. And the older sister startled her. So Amelia, in her startled state, started backing up. And when she backed up into the fire pit and sat right into some coals that were just barely going out. And her dad managed to catch her before she fell on her back into the fire. So we are very grateful that the Lord protected her. Her pants were singed, burned through. Her diaper was singed, but there was not a burn mark on her. She didn't even have time to try to catch her with her hands, which would have put her into the fire, or finish rolling backwards, which would have burned her back and all kinds of stuff like that. So we are very grateful for Father's mercy and protection over her, and that he gave Dad quick reflexes to get her out of there before any damage could be done.
Amen. I'm trying to give somebody the phone number to get in. All right. Anyone else got a prayer request or a praise report or a testimony? Amen. Okay. Let's see if I can get this thing done. Oh, anybody got something they'd like to talk about tonight? It's going to be a short night. Yeah, Andrew.
Well, this is kind of like a prayer request. Like first, I'd like to thank Lana for mentioning those thoughts that sometimes get triggered into you. I never really heard it said that way, but sometimes even when you're listening to people here, you can get a thought triggered into you that you that's a negative thought, and it's not supposed to be in there. And I thank her for bringing that up, because I thought I was the only one getting these things. And so praise God for that. But, you know, I was listening to one of the David's items where he's talking about the church in general, where you're not supposed to be like a judgmental person or condemning these people. More because of their different beliefs, but because some of them are in Christ and they know how to get into Christ, that they that you should let Christ maybe take care of it here. And if you have a difference with this person, to not let go of the difference, but to know that there is something wrong in the sectarian system. But you have to have these people allow to grow in Christ and to encourage them more in the faith, rather than always trying to fix them, you know. And it was a real interesting video that I watched from YouTube. I can't remember the title of it now, but it's something along that lines anyway. And so I just would like someone to take and put this into a prayer for all of us, because sometimes we can forget that, because we can forget that this person could either be even in a place where he's under guardians and tutors till Christ be formed in him too. And of course so there are also some of them have Christ formed in them, but they need this little bit of extra fruit in their soul to understand things. So I'm just trying to convey something here so someone can make a nice prayer out of it for all our loved ones anyway, so I just have to hand it over to someone else because I'm trying to think of what I just watched in the video, and I don't want to interfere with the Lord's progress in people. You know, I would prefer him to take care of it all and do it all, and for me to just have rest and know how to speak certain things when you're supposed to speak them anyway. So I think that some prayer for this has to be offered up, if not just for me or for whoever else thinks that they might need some prayer for this too, because sometimes, you know, you can stick your foot in your mouth. So I'm going to just put that as a prayer for all of us, for our loved ones that we would like to see come to the Lord, and so that they can, first of all, get repentance and salvation and actually grow quicker in the Lord and to follow what is important to the Lord and not important to a sect, but to build up that man of God that's in this individual person, whoever they may be. So praise God. I hope someone has a good prayer for us, if you kind of understand what I'm talking about.
Go ahead, Pat.
I just disappeared on the screen. I was trying to find myself. So with what Andrew said there, it was interesting. The Lord, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, kind of gave me I don't know if it was a release or just an awareness of another perspective, and that is, I'm like everybody else, we're all experiencing certain aspects of crucifixion and sanctification and that sort of process as we go through the paces here. And I don't know what it was in me, but the Lord just kind of, he gave me another thought, and that was to be able to rest in with the understanding that he is in control of the crucifiers, and that when the work is done within us, within me, then it will be done. It will have completed what it is there for. And so I don't know exactly the thought process, but it really released me to see, to really, I guess, get a fresh view of the fact that my Father in heaven, who loves me and has a purpose for me, has a purpose for these crucifying effects. And has released me to, I guess, not be so focused on that crucifixion or that crucifier or whatever it would be. Now, I'm speaking in terms of people or relationships or circumstances or anything. You can apply it in many different ways. But not to focus upon them, but to focus upon what the Lord is trying to raise or trying to see or trying to, for wants me to discover. It's like, it kind of showed me a while back about that sanctification, the sanctification process, it's like the wilderness. we're not meant, we haven't been created so that we can live in the wilderness the rest of our lives. There's a purpose for the wilderness. It's to prepare us to conquer the promised land. And in like fashion, sanctification, the sanctifying, crucifying process that we're going through is not a process for us to learn to live in it for the rest of our lives, even though it's always there, but it's there for a purpose to bring us into what God calls perfection. Perfection. And I can't seem to get off of that whole theme and concept. And maybe when he gave me some more stuff today, which I thought was mind-bending to a certain degree, but I might be able to share some a little later. But in reference to the specific thing that Andrew was saying, he also gave me a short dream this morning. And I don't know if it was in a church. It must have been a church setting of some sort. I don't know how everybody else's experiencing in the churches were. But in the Baptist tradition, they have, they have like an altar call. People come up to the altar and pray and whatnot. But this was more of a setting of a larger meeting of some sort. And I was at the altar with a bunch of people were there, and I was basically counseling them, trying to, bring them to the Lord. And I was dealing with one person, and it was continuing on, and it was getting late. And when I got up, I got up, and the person was still there at the altar, and there was a whole crowd of people. I mean, it's just as far as you could see, a whole crowd of people there. And I realized that if I have to minister to every one of these, I'm going to be there for the rest, for a month or two. And so it dawned on me that the Lord wanted me to pull back and give out what he has given to the larger group, as opposed to, and the point being is to, because there wasn't enough time, but the concept was to give out what he wants them to have, bless them, and trust them into the Father's hands. Now, he gave me some things to say and questions to ask and that sort of thing, which I'm not going to go through here right now, but the concept was, I don't know how to picture. We have to, in that dream, I had to pull back from the one personal level and go and widen my perspective and send that word out to the larger group, and then entrust God, entrust them in God's hands in order to take them where they need to go and to protect them, because one person just couldn't minister to it. So I don't know if that speaks to what Andrew's questioning there or saying, but I think it was, to me, it was kind of a release of the strain of dealing with the whole deep state deception, it's darkness that's covering the world type thing, and just released me that whole process is in the hands of a mighty God that is orchestrating that whole thing for his purposes to bring in the harvest. And our job is to cooperate with his spirit, cooperate with the truth, and trust him to accomplish the work that needs to be done, even though it looks monumental looking at it from over the, at the horizon. I mean, you only need to spend 5 minutes watching TV and it's mind blowing now. It's just as dark as it can be. So Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you are in complete control of what's happening right now in society, that you are, even in the larger society, the nations, as well as right down to each individual person, you know exactly what each person needs, and you are the wise counselor, father, redeemer, savior, able to do it all and without a strain. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord. I just ask that you, I don't know what it is that you did within me or in the thought process, but Father, I just ask that you would release us all to rest in your ability and your strength, your ability to bring people through, bring cities through, bring states, nations through into what you are bringing about now in this a day and age. We thank you, Lord, that you are preparing us in whatever degree to be able to fit into that process, into your task. And we thank you that you are well able to prepare us, that you are well able to give us grace, to fill us with your spirit, your perspective, your strength, your power, your life, your word, your truth. We thank you for filling us with you, Lord Jesus. And we just trust you that you're going to bring us through. We thank you that, Lord, even in the face of this monumental darkness in the world, you have a purpose in it. You have a purpose because you're ready and willing and preparing to save a massive multitude of people and bring them and sweep them into your kingdom, and Satan can't do a thing about it because you are in complete control. And so we thank you for it, Lord. I bless my brothers and sisters in the name of Jesus, just to open up our eyes and just to give us grace. And we praise you, Lord, for you are our creator, our life, our love, and our heart's desire, Lord, and we thank you for it. We just bless everyone in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I got a story along those lines, Pat. It's not the same situation, but it's similar. T.L. Osborne was ministering over, I believe it was in India. And he had a massive, massive crowd. And he was used to going out there and ministering one-on-one and getting people healed and delivered and brought into the kingdom. And he went to the Lord. He said, Lord, I can't do this. I don't have the time and I don't have the stamina to sit out there and minister to every one of them. Lord spoke up to him and said, can I heal two people at the same time? He said, yes, Lord, you can do that. You're God. You can do anything. He said, okay, can I heal five people at one time? He said, Lord, you're God. You can do anything. He said, can I heal 50 people at one time? He said, God, you're God. You can do anything. And he said, can I do what's out there at one time? So he finally got it. You know, sometimes we're a little slow, but he finally got it. And he said, yes, Lord, I understand. He went out there and he said, and he told him, he said, all, he said, I command healing in all that need it in Jesus' name. And then after a little while, he said, all that have been healed, raise your crutches, raise your whatever you got that you needed healing for. He said, literally, almost everybody out there held up something. He said, no, he said, I meant all those that have been healed, raise it up. And nobody took theirs down. Every one of them that needed healing got healed. That is God. We shouldn't put God in a box of any kind of sort. And if we think and we pray the way that we think we ought to pray and believe God, it's going to happen. Whatever it is, it makes no never mind what it is. God's going to answer it because he just wants your trust in him. That's all he wants. That's all you need is your trust in the Lord. If you trust the Lord to do it, he'll do it. Bless God. You know, you can say, Lord, I can't do it. And that's all he wants you to say. And then all you got to do is say, I command it in the name of Jesus and it's done. And the Lord will do it. You walk in it, you'll see the victory every time. Then the days ahead, you're going to need it. Take him out of your pocket and put him out on the shelf because he's a big God. He can do anything. He can do anything. All right. Anyone else? I want to see that sometime. I'm going to see it. We're going to see 1,000 get healed at or 1,000 get delivered at the same time. Them demons going to be on the run. That's that time, like that time when Lake was over in Africa, South Africa, and they had that plague going on out there. And he had a friend of his that he was an intercessor. You probably heard it. If you hadn't, that's fine. I'm going to tell it anyway. And this guy went out in the desert. He got under one of those little bushes out there, and he just interceded to get this plague stopped. And John Lake would check on him every now and then, take him something out there to eat. He said, how's he going? I forget the boy's name, but he said, how's he going? He said, I'm still fighting. I'm still praying. We're getting closer. We're getting closer. We're getting closer. And so Lake went back, and he's come back the next day or so. He said, how's it going there, bud? And he said, man, if I could just get you to help me, I believe we got the victory. And Lake said, I dropped down on my knees and started praying with him. And he said, I looked up and I saw a horde of demons out there. Just for miles and miles and miles of nothing but demons. Then all of a sudden, this guy that he was praying with got up and yelled like a banshee warrior and went straight after them demons, casting them out of there, binding up and all that stuff, and the demons just disappeared, and the plague was over. The plague was over. It's enduring in your faith until you're through with it. Bless God. That's the thing that we do. We think we can just say a little old prayer, 5 minutes time. Sometimes you got to keep praying, you know, keep praying. I know that goes against everything he's been taught. How many times did Jesus pray for that blind man? Twice. Okay. Anybody else? That's a same way with salvation. You pray in salvation for your family member. Did you pray just one time? No, you keep praying for them. Keep praying, believing for them. Yeah, Missy.
Well, what comes to my mind is you believe you have received, but now it's a warfare. It's you're doing warfare. You know, even if you don't, you know, you've prayed every prayer that you can think of, you know, and it's like, okay, because this is what I do sometimes, you know, you believe, you know, that a certain family member per se is saved, you know, that they're coming in the kingdom. And you've done all the warfare that you know to do to facilitate that. You know, and sometimes I just like, you know, I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't know what to pray. I know I've prayed everything. I'm going to pray in the spirit. And you war through me in the spirit, you know, for them, you know, against the principalities, rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. It's not that you keep asking the Lord the same thing. It's a warfare. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and violent men take it by force, you know?
That's right.
So.
Amen. You got to keep it up. Keep it up until you see the victory. See, you see the victory. Or they'll die. You don't want that to happen. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, actually, my dad left to go up north yesterday to go fishing on his own without us. So I just hope he's okay up there.
You want to pray for him?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. We'll believe with you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray for my dad and just hope he's okay up there and doesn't get fall in the water or anything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We thank you for your protection upon him, Lord, there and back. And let him catch a bunch of fish. In Jesus' name, we're going to come back and have a fish fry. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All
right. Yeah, I went fishing with him one time and I caught a 10-inch brook trout.
Okay, I caught a 12-inch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was that big, man. It was that big. Oh. All right, thank you, Dick.
Yeah.
All right. Anyone else? Hey, when you're in a natural war, you don't quit shooting, do you, when the enemy's still shooting at you? No, you don't quit shooting. You keep plugging away. How about this, big boy? You know, and go something after him. Go after him again. You'll get the victory. Yep. Amen. Great. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Isaac. I don't know why, but you can't hear you. Good controlled electrician figured that out real quick. All right. That'd be fine. Amen. Generally, all you have to do is just turn it on. All right, who's next? You ain't going to get no slack on your eyes. You know that, don't you? Amen. All right. Yeah, George.
The joy of the Lord is our strength. And I think when the burden is on us to give something to God, let's really give it to him, and then let's praise and celebrate victory and magnify the Lord and his promises, and let our imagination lend to that seed that's planted. And when somebody contradicts what we've prayed for, we just let our imagination say, wow, that person is going to be an amazing evangelist. Or when that person embraces the cross, that they're going to turn what the devil meant to destroy them into a devil destroying ministry. And just to hold out the hope and believe the best and keep holding people in the highest regard and the highest hopes, and until we see it manifest, and then move on to the next one. There's got to be a whole slew of people that need to know that the kingdom of heaven is near. So instead of focusing so much on a seed that's planted and laborers in the harvest that are doing work behind the scenes that we can't see, we need to just, it's kind of like stick and move. Let's be about our shepherd's business, and whoever he puts in front of us, you know, there's somebody weeping and wailing for their salvation. So let's just plow through the whole world being a Holy Ghost wrecking machine and let God, you know, use us. And I was thinking, did Jesus ever go anywhere where he didn't have the power to control the situation? So everywhere and everybody around us, it's just spoils on the field of battle. And we need to be, you know, it's like Sonic, just collecting all the rings in the whole game, running up in circles and doing loop-de-loops. And that's a video game reference, but I'm just saying, we got to have fun with this. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and he wants us to enjoy the victory that he's already won. And we have a spirit of power and love and a sound mind, and we're walking in times where we need to have that sound, well-disciplined mind, so that no matter what the news of the day is, it can't shake us from our mission. And we're in charge of this. The enemy is lying when he tells us that we have to be subjected to tyranny. Our Father is amazing, and he is to be feared, and nothing else but him. Amen.
Amen. He never gave in. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Praise God from evermore. Yes, plunder that enemy. And there's a bunch of them too. Isaac finally got it figured out. All right, Isaac, go ahead, brother. Well, we thought he did anyway. No, can't hear you. Can't hear you, brother. All right, go back to the book. Amen. Lord, we command that computer to get that microphone going in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Carol, go ahead, girl.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, George, for that. I think that just kind of propelled me to want to share. I'm not on camera because I'm so tired. I was up at 5 and I have to get up really early again tomorrow, but I'm here and I'm so grateful. So about being, I think the way I retain this training right now is what I'm seeing God is doing, this amazing transformation of keeping me focused on him no matter what. And I was extremely tested yesterday when I had a meeting with my boss, And he just pretty much told me to my face that I'm probably not going to make the cut because my numbers, I can't go as fast as they need me to go fast, right? And that's been this whole stress. And so he just pretty much told me that. And I just looked at him with this amazing smile. And I just said, you know, I just know God, and I dare to say God. And I've done that a few times with him. And I said, I just know that God has this and has put me here for a reason. And I said, so he said, I'm probably not going to make it past November 19 with this job. And I said, I just know that whatever is going to happen, I'm going to do my best to do what I'm supposed to do with a big smile, with the best attitude, and thank you for, you know, investing so much in me. And I saw his face just change. And I know that was the Lord, because after the meeting was over, my old self tried to come and terrorize me. And when that came, I really said, oh Lord, I think my heart wants to faint. I must be under attack. And I don't know if I have the strength to bind, gag, and strangle and cut the enemy's head. And I could feel the enemy was attacking, right? And then I said, but your word says when we're too weak to call you. So can you do this fight for me right now? And when I did that, the word that came to me, because the enemy tried to like really terrorize me, like, how are you going to survive on your own? You have a condo to pay for, blah, 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 blah. And instead, I really felt God was saying, I am allowing you to go through this to train you. And in the night I had after this, I went and I read something that one of David's books, I guess. And I was, because the word that came to me, the condemnation tried to come back. The condemnation was saying, you know, you're just so weak and you're just, you know, you're not good enough, blah, blah, blah. And I heard the Lord come in so fast and say, what did you read in David's book? In my weakness, God is strong. And that's what I jumped on. I jumped on, in my weakness, you are strong. And then I had so much peace. And then while this is all happening, my boss even said to me, he says, you know, if I had my own business, Carol, I would hire you in a heartbeat. So I know that God is trying to save this man. That's what I got. That's why I'm in this job, for that man. And I said, well, there you go, Lord. So that was my one glory story about staying so focused. And it was amazing to feel, I don't want to use the word feel, to sense the accompaniment of the Holy Spirit, just corralling my thoughts to stay on the word. And it was really exciting. It was exciting to have that fruit. It's happening. And I was like, Lord, thank you so much for placing me in this ministry with my brothers and sisters at UBM, because I could see where I was so oppressed and stuck. And I love the Lord. And I want to go back to you, George, on saying that the word God gave me when the Holy Spirit hit me, he gave me a double joy anointing, because I can go through hell and I still have this way of smiling, and I don't even comprehend how I can do that. But that's the gift he's given me, right? But now it's beyond that. It's like the word, this amazing weapon being activated. So let us keep binding, gagging, strangling, cutting off the head. And then I received number two item that I want to talk about is, just before joining you guys tonight, one of my friends sent me some prophetic word. And it was talking about cutting the giant's head, but not to forget, maybe you can even cut the feet off. So that way the enemy can't work through our police officers and do some, you know, bad things to people. And I just laughed. I said, oh, I hadn't thought about cutting the feet of the enemy. That's probably a really cool thing to do as well. So I figured maybe it's just another tool he's adding to my arsenal. So I thought I'd share that with you. So that is our Lord. He is amazing. He's phenomenal. And maybe to go to in prayer to say, Lord, thank you that you are well, you're just magnificent, but above all, how much you love us, how patient you are with us, how protective you are, how you are so good. And yes, indeed, your plans for us is not to harm us, but to strengthen us, to be beautiful pillars of light in the dark times that are to come. And this is indeed our training ground so that we will be steadfast and will not be moved by the darkness. In fact, we will blow and the darkness will just be pushed back just by the breath of God through us. And we won't be moved. We just move a finger and the enemy will blow away into a million pieces. That's the kind of authority you are preparing your children for, those of us that have said yes. And I want to say yes, Lord, and yes, and yes. More of you, less of the flesh, more of you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Carol. That was awesome. Awesome testimony. God's peace in your heart when the enemy's attacking. Thank you, Lord. All right, who else?
You hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, we can hear you, Isaac. Praise God.
I think the movement. Well, it wasn't plugged in. I'm just joking, it's plugged in. Anyways, I was just hoping y'all could pray for me. This house, I like to pray and cast out any evil spirits or anything that's been in here before. I know that we got little bits and pieces of the background history of it. It's just, I guess, people are really bound by addiction. And, you know, sounds terrible. Two people died in the house. So I ain't worried about it. You know, I know we can send 1,000 flight and two of us can send 10,000 flight. I don't know what the numbers are if you add all of us together. That's a whole bunch. Anyways, Michael or whoever else wants to, would y'all say a prayer? I'm already agreeing. I'm already believing. And it's a new.
All right, is that your mom's house?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay, good deal. All right, yeah, I'll start it off and then somebody else can come in. In the name of Jesus right now, we command any kind of tormenting demons out there to leave that house right now. We bless it with the blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that it is cleansed free of any kind of tormenting demons in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father. Lord, I saw back in West Memphis, Arkansas one time, we prayed for this house. And we were blessing that house, the empty house. The lady wanted us to come over. And you just sent myriads of angels down. And I ask you to do that to this house too, in the name of Jesus, Father, that the angels would come down, visit, move out all the demonic oppression, depression, or anything else that they got to do there in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for a complete cleansing of that house in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, anybody else? We thank you for your warrior angel stationed round about the property in Jesus' name to keep them out. There ain't no devils allowed in that house in the name of Jesus. If somebody's got devils on them, they have to check them at the door in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for doing that. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord.
And feathers, yeah, feathers, feathers, feathers covering the whole house. Feathers, feathers, yep, of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Julie.
Well, Father, I thank you for this house and how you've provided richly and all the blessings that you've already bestowed on this house and made and everything happen so so seamlessly, Lord. And we just pray blessings on this house for Isaac's and Geneva's mom, Lord. And we command all unclean spirits, lingering spirits from any associations from every person who's been in there. You all have to go in the name of Jesus. And we cover that house in the blood of the Lamb. Lord, we declare it's got a blood Passover, that everyone in that house is covered with the blood of the Lamb, and no evil shall come near it. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Holy, hallelujah. All right. Anyone else? It's cleansed. It can't get no cleaner than that. Amen. All right, Mom, you got to keep them out of there now. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else got something they'd like to talk about? Other than babies. No, that's a sweet baby. Anybody got a subject for tonight? Yeah. Oh. Well, let's talk about Jesus. What has, okay, well, I got a question. What miraculous thing has the Lord done for you? I'll tell you what he did for me, and you can't use it. He saved me at the age of 50 years old. Praise the Lord. When I was a child of the devil, he saved me. And I praise God for it too, in Jesus' name. All right, anyone else? What'd you say, Missy? No, you don't. Am I the only one that had a miraculous song? What's your favorite covenant name of God? That's a good one. Anybody want to venture in? Go ahead, George.
I was just thinking that eternal life is knowing God and Jesus whom he sent. And I think by knowing how he describes himself is a big help if we haven't dug in and become familiar with his covenant names, his descriptive names of when he came on the scene and revealed himself, and then as our healer, as our banner, you know, the Lord of hosts, I think is a favorite of mine right now, just to know that he ain't coming back as baby Jesus, but he is a fierce warrior and a leader in the battle, and he is the toughest hombre that's ever come on the scene, and he's just, there's nobody that's ever revealed toxic masculinity like our Lord and Savior did. He did it with gentleness and wisdom, but he's just, I just picture him as a very powerful, tough, admirable leader.
Amen. And power that emanated from him. Remember when they came up there to get him when he was praying? What he said to him and it knocked him back? Out right there, I would have jumped out of there. I said, oh, no, I ain't doing this one. Yeah, he got the power. All right, anybody else? Covenant name for the Lord. Yeah, Carol, go ahead.
Yeah, mine is Sabaoth, which is the Lord of Hosts as well.
Emmanuel, of course, God with us. Right now, my new favorite is, well, which I love, is the Prince of Peace. But something about all three together, really, when you guys were talking about Jesus, I was just seeing how he doesn't mess with the devil. He doesn't dance with the devil. He just takes authority and gets him off, knocks him right off of us. And so there's something about that that I think is phenomenal. Very protective, very pure and focused. And when I got saved in a dark household. I was in a dark marriage, of course, very worldly. And when God appeared, I distinctly heard a voice, like an audible voice that said, you know, now that you have chosen life, study my word, get to know my son. And that just came like booming through my spirit. And I didn't have a connection with the church. I didn't have a body of Christ. I didn't know anything about Jesus except for the little bit of the Catholic side, and in Quebec it's very oppressed Catholic, and how he accompanied me from that moment on to get to know the word. I didn't even have a Bible, so from that moment on, the next day a whole series of events would happen, but the very first thing was that he brought someone to my house to bring me a Bible, so that, and then I don't have to say anything else. I mean, here, I'm here with you all. So he continues to surprise me and astonish me and accompany me and set me free to another level. And I'm super thankful. So Emmanuel, I think, is the one that stays at this moment, like really God with us. Bless you. Amen.
Thank you, Carol. Go ahead, Pat.
Carol, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Carol?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yes, of course.
What brought you up to that point where you met Jesus?
Oh, hell. I saw hell. I heard hell. I heard the gnashing of teeth. And I was dying of a broken heart. And I knew I was on my way to hell. And I started to pray. The only prayer I knew was the one my father, natural father, taught me, which was the Our Father. So that's all I knew. And there was simultaneously a televangelist, which I had never seen before in my life, was on TV. And I couldn't hear the word because it was too, I had a lot of screeching in my head. But I felt accompanied, low, keep it low. So I just turned the TV low. And all of that was happening at the same time. Yeah. And then it was going to be a whole bunch of years before God delivers me out of that marriage because it was severe bondage. But wow. Yeah. So Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I think that that broke through. So somewhere in the fight, I realized I don't want to die because I'm going to hell. And that's when the Lord said, I guess in that battle, good. Now that you have chosen life, get to know, study my word, get to know my son. And it was like, from that moment, I read the Bible every day, every day. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, and I was, I think it was just about 40. So it was late for me as well. But it's never too late.
I love to listen to people's testimonies of how they got there, you know, how they made it to that point. Because that's the, to me, that's, I can sit and listen to that all the time. Because wow. It just shows you how many different ways God leads people through the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I mean, it's totally amazing. It's really enlightening because it's just, we're dealing with a God that this is not his first rodeo. He knows how to bring. And I sometimes I read, like, I think I read the when I was an early Christian, I read, what is it, they practice the presence of the Lord, by Brother Lawrence, I think. And he became a Christian simply by looking at the leaves on a tree or something like that. And at that time, I thought, like, how does that happen? You know, because in my particular persuasion that I got wound up in, you know, it was the Romans Road and the, you know, however many different roads, this and that and whatever, which I didn't believe in at the time. But and so I had a hard time wrapping my mind around that. But it's totally God turning the right tumblers at the right time and bringing enlightenment into your understanding, and you reaching out and grabbing him at that time. And that's just, it's beautiful. So anyway, that was just my question.
Okay. Well, I can add to that I definitely was a seeker, but I was a seeker in the New Age world, which of course is why I had so many demons, right? I didn't know I was picking them up as I was going. But and he had begun a journey to call me, and I didn't understand, but I was getting dreams of him, but I had no idea what this was about. So, but he finally gave me a big one that just pretty much ended with a scene as I smashed into a big truck with demons, and he had me face it and confront it. And as I was smashing, when I got the courage to smash towards it, I lifted my arms up in the air. And when the bang hit, the sign that showed up was Jesus saves. And that followed me until I got saved, that dream. Yeah.
Amen. Anyone else? I can pick somebody. I ain't scared. I was tricked into going into, came into the kingdom. I was tricked. Lord, I had a one-armed Baptist guy that was bugging me every day to go to church with him. And just to shut him up, I did. And it changed my whole life when he did. I was perfectly comfortable in my little world that I had. But after that, it was all over.
What did you see, Michael? I mean, what pushed you over the edge, so to speak?
Well, that Baptist preacher got to talk about sinners, you know, and where they were headed. And I didn't feel like that I wanted to go down there, and decided to go ahead and see what this was all about. Actually, had it, the Lord moved on me. I didn't have a whole lot to do with it. I was moved. The Lord just placed it in me to want to follow him. I'm kind of a tunnel vision kind of a guy. Before I came to Christ, my focus was on Michael. It wasn't on anything else, you know, Michael and the family, that's about it. But when I came to Christ, I felt the love of Christ from his people. And I wanted that, and I didn't have that type of love as I felt in with brothers and sisters in Christ, and that more or less. And so at that point in time, I'm like Carol, I got in the Word of God and found out some things. And I didn't have much success in the world, in the church, because I got kicked out of more churches than I was allowed to stay in. But that was just God's way of showing me, you know, I didn't have near about enough love or grace. And but he brought me along. He kept bringing me along. And the love of God is really what brought me. And watching him do miracles is another. I enjoyed that too.
I remember that I was reading. I mean, I think the Lord had drawn me for quite a while, and I had no concept of it. I didn't understand what was happening. But I had read some, I don't know how I did. I saw a movie. I saw the late great Planet Earth. That was way back when, the 70s. And I was kind of like Carol. I was into the whole meditation, Eastern mysticism type of demonic thing. But I was trying to become, I didn't want any kind of religion. I remember that. But anyway, when I started reading these prophetic books, it started to open up my understanding that, hey, somebody knew something about what was happening in the future and all that. You know, I was in those days, I was like into Nostradamus and all those type of people or whatever. And when I started reading and that led me to start looking in the Bible. And a friend of mine bought me a Bible and gave it to me, and I started reading the Bible, and that was, and of course I wasn't affiliated with any kind, I had never been in a church before, quite frankly. And it was through reading the scripture. And when you say that the desire was there, I mean, the Lord just started at some point in time in my life there, started putting such an intense desire in me, like a craving, just to read that Bible, because I knew that there was something in there. I probably spent 6 months, I would imagine, going home from work and reading the scripture every night, which I certainly didn't tell anybody about that, because none of my friends would have probably agreed with that concept. But it was in that process when the intensity of the desire was just driving me to find out what was in this. What was it about this Bible? And it was when I came upon that scripture, when Jesus said, it hit me like a ton of bricks. It said, Jesus said, I am the way. No, I didn't say it. It said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And when I saw that, it was like, man, that is it. That is it. And I piled out of bed and just prayed to Jesus at that time. And it was obviously, it sounds kind of weird, but I just said, Jesus, take me to the Father. And the intense craving was it ended at that time. And it surprised me at the time, because I didn't realize what it was, and it was peace. It was peace in my heart. I thought I did something wrong or something happened. But I noticed that after that point in time, I started praying. Bingo. I started praying for the people that I had offended in my life and stuff like that. And I'd never done that sort of thing. Never prayed before. I was surprised. The only reason I piled out of bed to pray is because I saw it on TV one time, you know? But that's when it hit me. And that was the starting point of the whole thing. So it was amazing.
Yeah, go ahead, Malcolm. Thank you, Pat. It's good.
Yeah, Pat, I was going to say that Charles Finney was under great conviction and he was coming back from the woods. Probably a lot of us know that story of him coming back from the woods when he duked it out and with God and his. And anyway, he came back and he realized that all of his sense of guilt and all the other stuff that he had been experiencing was all gone. And it started to dawn on him that he had been reprobated. Actually, he wasn't, but he thought for sure he was reprobated because he didn't have any, he had no more conviction of sin. He didn't have any of the stuff that had been driving him earlier. He was just totally at peace, and he realized it was too late. Anyway, it's a pretty neat story. That's a wonderful Charles Finney's early beginnings. Like, you know, you were talking about that. His early beginnings are really something to review. Just to, I think it spends almost a whole chapter, maybe two chapters on that. But I was just going to say, in my experience, I remember, I think it was 1966, when Sunday morning we would have this breakfast of, I don't know, waffles or pancakes or something. Kind of leisurely, we'd sit there and listen to kind of a, I guess, a radio evangelist or radio religious speaker who would, just a real man of God, he would have this program every Sunday morning. So we'd listen to that. And I was so drawn to by what he was saying. Anyway, they offered these Bible studies. Well, I had to sign up for those. And I was the firstborn and a problem child. And but I was really drawn to that, you know, what he was talking about Jesus and about following Jesus and whatnot. So I took those lessons, and then we went to Nepal right in the middle of those lessons. And I remember I was frustrated because I thought, well, how am I going to continue these lessons? And then they tried to get me to switch over to another set of lessons that were done in India, but it was totally out of context. It didn't really pertain to what the earlier lessons had been around about. So I asked special permission for them to do mail back and forth directly to the United States, which they agreed to do. So anyway, at the end of the lessons, they asked if I wanted to be baptized, and I filled out, of course, I wanted to be baptized. And now the situation in Nepal was, my dad was the medical director, the only doctor for a while, and there's no church there, so he was kind of the pastor of the church of what, like 7 to 10 people. And so my dad gets this letter in the mail sometime later. Of course, you know, correspondence between the United States and Nepal is kind of slow. But you get this letter that there's a young man in your community somewhere there that wants to be baptized. And they gave my name. So that was the first my parents found out I wanted to be baptized. Anyway, it was a pretty big deal. Of course, in Nepal, it's illegal to get baptized at the time. And I think it was at that time, it was a year in prison for the person getting baptized and 3 years for the person doing the baptizing. So it was a serious decision. Anyway, that's just a little part of my experience.
So what happened, Malcolm, if you were in prison and you were baptizing people in prison?
I guess they'd prolong the agony. I don't know. I don't know. It was, I think, at the time, Nepal was a Hindu country, and the king was a god, a Hindu god. So I think the real, even though the law didn't state this, the real issue was Hindus becoming Christians. If you're Buddhist or if you're, you know, Islamic or any other group, I don't think there'd be an issue at all. If the local people wanted to just kill you outright or whatever, at that time anyway, the government would just look the other way. If they wanted to deal with it in whatever way they chose to. It'd be similar to driving and hitting a cow, which is a god or a goddess, I guess, if it was female. If it was a foreigner and the locals were to kill the driver, I don't think there's much that the government would do to try to bring any kind of justice other than what had already been meted out. So, but as far as foreigners getting baptized, it just wasn't. I don't know of a case where it was enforced, since it was kind of an unspoken that it was just regarding Hindus. I think it was probably fine, but in our environment, it was pretty, a little bit scary. The hospital contract said that if there's any proselytizing by anybody there, if anybody's caught proselytizing, the hospital will be confiscated by the government. And the and I recognize this is a recorded call, but things have changed. But the hospital would be confiscated by the government, and any foreigners would be immediately kicked out of the country. So some of the people that were working there were pretty terrified of not saying anything that might get them in trouble or even getting close to that. And then there were some of us who didn't really, we weren't quite as obedient. So
amen. That's a wonderful testimony, David. That's a good one. Amen. We got some good folks in here. I shouldn't say some. I should say all. Everybody. All right. Well, I wanted to ask you a question. Is that looking out in your front yard? A picture from your front yard, Will.
It's my sister's front yard. She sent it today, and I just thought about David's last teaching. I think Eve had a dream about a giraffe, so I decided to put it on. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Well, you're right. He did. She did. Two of them. Awesome. I guess I was muted. Has anyone else got something they'd like to talk about? I know Angelica's got something. I don't know if we've got enough time, but we do. She said she wants to talk about our position and identity in Christ. Our position and identity in Christ. All right. The floor is open. Amen. You know, that's something I was thinking about the other day. When we got saved, the Lord Jesus came inside of our spirit. And when he came inside of our spirit, he brought everything with him, didn't he? He brought everything with him. Ephesians 1 and 3. All the blessings of heaven are available to us. And our identity in Christ is to be like him. What did he say the great commandment was? What was that great commandment? That's how we're supposed to look. It's to love your neighbor as yourself. When you love your neighbor as yourself, you're going to look like Jesus. Now, I got to start it. Somebody else take over. All right, Julie.
Well, I can add a little bit since you put me in the spot there. I guess initially that the scripture was coming to my mind is the Lord said it is our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And when we come into the kingdom, we have to have faith like a child. So we start out as little children to enter into the kingdom. So I think as believers and trusting God as our Father and believing in the Lord Jesus, it's like, okay, well, we're in the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, that's like where it just kind of begins for us. But, you know, the scripture says that we died with Christ and we were raised with Christ. And parable of the seed and the sower, you know, those have a good and honest heart and receive the word of God and you know, bear fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. He says immediately right up front, you got 100-fold fruit. So, you know, we're claiming our perfection in him right from the very beginning that we're going to come into the fullness of his image and to be like him. And the other scripture is coming to my mind is in 1 John, I think it's 1 John, as he is, so are we in this world. And as Christ is, well, he's an overcomer. He's a son of, you know, he is the only begotten son of God, and we are sons of God. The Bible says we are. So our position is we dwell in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus, and as his bride, as sons of God, we're on the throne with him, providing we continue in the faith and keep fighting and obeying and bearing fruit and claiming it as ours because he says it's ours. So it's just, yeah, there's just so many. I've been recently listening to the truth about being born again. So born again. So there's just a lot. There's just so much there in that teaching about who we are in Christ Jesus, our identity, our position, what we have. And it's just a really good encouragement for everyone just to get yourself pumped up about what the Lord says we are, who we are, where we are. And yeah, we're born from above. We're not of this earth. We're, you know, we're only passing through. We're sojourners and we want to be about our Father's business just as Jesus, you know, we're disciples of him and we do as he does and we speak as we hear our Father speak, just like Jesus did. He's training us, he's teaching us to be like him and to overcome and how to fight in the kingdom and how to be ministers of reconciliation to other people who need that. And then he allows us to go through hard things so that we can learn humility and the crucifixions and the trials and our faith has to be proven. And, you know, there's just, it goes on and on and on. I mean, we wouldn't still be here if, you know, if we didn't love the Lord, because yeah, we, And he didn't, if he didn't love us, I mean, he already perfected us. So it's like, we just have to endure in the faith and the trials and believe him, you know, just believe him. Just believe every word that God says about us. Amen. I think you're muted, Michael.
I knew that. I was just seeing if y'all was paying attention. how do we attain, this goes along with the question that she asked, how do we attain that position with Christ along with what is our position in Christ? I know this is kind of quick, but Isaac, go ahead, brother.
Well, I'll say this real quick. I feel like our position in Christ is to manifest Christ. So essentially, to become him, to be him. Well, behold him as in the mirror, you know, the mystery of the, you know, the ages and generations. Was Christ in you, the hope of glory? So I think that we are Christ. It's Christ that liveth in you, right? It's not I that live, but it's Christ that liveth in me. So I think that's it. And one more thing to the image. This is something actually coming from myself. You say, what's position and what's our image? Well, let me rephrase that. What's our position in Christ? Well, it's a as his image, and I think for all of us, it's to strive and run that race for 100-fold manifestation. And if you look in the Strong's Concordance, you'll find the image in the Bible is in there 100 times. 100 times the word image. I don't know what the Hebrew and Greek word for that is, but it's in there 100 times. And to me, that meant 100-fold. So I just throwing that.
That out there. Amen. All right, Andrew.
Well, we got to love God. We got to be a lover of God. We have to have agape. We need to to ask for the love, and he gives us the love, and we follow it, and this love never fails. So if you truly have this love in you, I believe you have the love in your soul too, because he does tell you to love the Lord your God with all your soul, and that's where you bear the fruit of Christ. So that's one up on having the image of Christ in your soul. You want to bear the fruit of Christ in your soul, and it's through the word. So I think the love is agape style. It has to be, you know, for God so loved the world. So we need that love too. We love because he first loved us. And whatever, you know, Jesus tells us to ask, and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. So all those items, you know, that are after the first fruit of the Spirit is love, but without the love, how can you be obedient for peace or all the other fruits of the Spirit? So that's what I think he's saying to us. That's why he put love first there. And of course, I think the mortal enemy for that love would be to say that God's word has no meaning. It's a vanity. It's a fornication. So that's why fornication is the first fruit of the flesh. So that's what I think is of most importance, because you will always be successful, but you still have to get the love through the grace and faith from God. And you know you have it, so that if the test comes by again, it doesn't faze you. It's like that guy who someone mentioned earlier, that he thought there was something wrong with him because he didn't have that inhibition in him anymore, and he just it was just downloaded into his vessel to have the love of God. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. I remember a story again that Lake told about a guy he knew. He said this guy, he said when he preached up there, that it was the most wonderful thing to hear him preach about the Lord, whether it was whatever kind of a sermon it was, he always enjoyed it. It was exciting because he came with revelation straight from the throne room, you know. And he said one time he was praying with him. And when he was praying, said the guy got down on the ground and he had his Bible. He said he always carried his Bible with him. And when he prayed, he'd get down and he said he didn't think that I saw him, but he was kissing his Bible. That's how much he loved God. And he was just on fire for the Lord all the time. And he said he ran across him 20 years later. And he said he wasn't carrying his Bible. He said he had a big church, but there was no life in the church. And he didn't have a very good sermon. And he asked the choir director, he said, what happened? He said he quit reading his Bible. And he quit communion with God because of the rules of the church wouldn't allow him to do that in the church that he was in. And so what that told me was this. If you feel like you're sliding away from reading the word, or sliding away where your heart's getting cold against God, get back in the Word. Get back to communion with God more often. And use the Word of God like he did, that you love the Word of God. And you ask the Lord when you open it, oh, Lord, give me some more revelations today. And just let it be a part of your life. And you'll never grow cold if you do that. It's communion with God and reading the Word of God. That's real important in your walk. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, Isaac.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay.
You said something, Michael, about the guy kissing his word, and then he goes on later and doesn't in his church doesn't have no life in it. And I was reading the Bible, and it dawned on me, you know, me and Mariana, we came out of these like big TBN churches, like mega church. And it dawned on me not too long ago when I was reading the word. You remember how Satan tempted Jesus and he told him to turn the stone into bread and throw himself off the cliff? And he took him to the pinnacle of the temple, right? Now think about that. And I'm not saying I have this completely right, but it just kind of spoke to me. I think this parable there, and there's something in that a lot of these people get taken to the pinnacle of the temple. You know, they're up on the altar above everybody. You know what I mean? They're elevated, and they're at the pinnacle of this church, and they throw Christ down. You know what I mean? That's what happens. And I think isn't that where, correct me if I'm wrong, is that where Yeah, Satan told him to cast himself down, right? From the pinnacle. Is that what it was? Right, okay.
Yeah.
So anyways.
He said, the angels will catch you. You ain't going to mess up. You know, he's trying to tempt him. Go ahead.
That's right. Yeah, thank you. And I think that's what the Lord showed me that happens a lot. They get elevated to the pinnacle of the church, where they are essentially, you know, becoming an idol to people. Unfortunately, I've been there. I was that guy. I did it myself. Thank God. Thank God for this truth. Anyways, but they get to the pinnacle and they throw Christ down. And that's what the Lord showed me.
Amen. Amen. Isaac, as you know, David has a pulpit. He sits up on the stage. no, he doesn't. He's actually in the back of the room with me. We're both hiding out in the corner back there in the back. he don't like pulpits. He doesn't like a stage. He likes to get down with the people.
Man,
and that's the heart of God.
Hey, amen. We brought the guests down there. That was the first thing they said after we left. They said, "Do you notice he's sitting in the back?" And they sat in the back. We thought he would be up in the front of people or, you know, whatever. It's amazing. Like, they even see it.
Yeah. Amen. Well, all right. Looks like we're out of time. Thursday night is praise and worship night, I think. So I'll be doing all the singing that night with my band. Oh, you girl. I'll tell you what. Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for tonight. I thank you, Lord, for all the great words and all the great testimonies of the way that we came in and the truth that you gave us. And Lord, let us treasure your word like it was the biggest treasure in the world, and it is. And Father, I ask that for me and for everybody in here, that you place it in the hearts to hunger for righteousness. And the way to get righteousness is through the word and through communion with you, Lord. And let us be like that guy when he first started out, when he was in the ministry, loving you, Lord. Let us love that word where we don't want to separate from it. We want to keep it with us. And Father, I ask that in the name of Jesus, because we're going to need it in the times ahead. And let us get in that word and study, and not just read it, but to study when we come across these wonderful words that you have for us, Lord, that we would study it, get it in our spirit. The saying that I have on the calendar, Lord, is that self is the very root of sin. And when there's no self, there's no sin. Father, that's a position that I'd like to be in, and I want to be in. And the way to do that is to just run after you with all our hearts, Lord. And I know everybody out here wants to do that as well. Father, I thank you for Megan's recovery, and that baby is going to be gaining weight like a hog. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. He's tall and slim right now, but he's fixing to be big in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for a good night's sleep tonight for everybody. Bless them until we meet again, Lord, and keep that love in our hearts for each other. Let us intercede for each other. And, Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Y'all be blessed, you hear?